make him feel alive again. Get ice cream.
Yeah, like holding hands and going and get ice cream with your sweetheart. That's sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's not exactly what I would think about when you say, I need somebody to make me feel alive again.
Okay. Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show's Torture Cinema.
This is the Skiffy and Fanny Show. Treat it with respect, for it may very well be the next dominant life form of our planet. Sound incredible? Impossible? Have you ever taken a good, close look at what the Skiffy and Fanny Show is all about?
Oh my god. If we become the next dominant life form on this planet, like, humanity's fucked.
Hey, it means unicorns come back. I'm all for it.
We will only bring betterment.
We wish.
All improvements.
Well, I'm Sean.
I'm Becca.
I'm Daniel.
And thanks to Daniel for dealing with the script. So now we know that this is a live torture cinema show, in case you didn't figure it out. And we're discussing 1977's Empire of the Ants, directed by the original Mr. Big, Burt I. Gordon, co-written by the director and Jack Turley, and very loosely based on the story from 1905 by H.G. Wells. It stars Joan Collins, Robert Lansing, John Carson, Pamela Susan Shoup, and swarms of uncredited ants. Why would you credit an ant? They're a hive mind.
Well, you could have come up with like a name. They could have just put like the species up there in the credits. That could have been like first building.
Like Anthony Banderas.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least be funny with it.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Can you make puns? You know.
So this movie was chosen, as I will remind everybody, by our Patreon supporters, based on a poll that I made to do with horror movies that suck. Although I have been now taken to task by Daniel.
Yes.
With the fact that I didn't choose movies set during Halloween, because this is, in fact,
that was
our
the original
Halloween
theme.
Special. So, yeah, but also, Andrea, it's your fault. We blame you.
But Halloween.
Yeah, it's Halloween.
She also got in your ear about switching it from Halloween to being just horror movies, didn't she? All for the intent of putting in Empire of the Ants.
Yeah, it was all.
I know it was part of the plan.
That's why she joined, and she's been here for months. It's been a secret plan to get us to trust her. She's not going to be our Patreon after this. Like, she's going to leave us.
Hey, don't worry, Andrea. It still can't be worse than the Robin Hood movie I made everybody watch. You're fine.
Oh my god, no, no. Okay, move on. Next part of the script. Go.
Which Robin Hood movie was that?
You don't want to know.
It was the recent one with. Fuck, what's his name?
I don't know. He's got
like... It was the like relatively recent remake, like late 2010s.
Taron something.
Yes, Taron Egerton.
There you go.
Anyways. As always.
I won't look that one up.
It was terrible. As always, please share your comments with us about this and past episodes at skiffyandfanty.com/listener suggestions. And if you're live with us today, feel free to throw thoughts and questions our way in the chat.
Okay. So normally we talk about what we're drinking. And we already know a little bit of what we're drinking, but as a reminder to everybody at home and anyone who may watch this at another point, please drink responsibly. None of us are driving after this evening. I mean, it's also kind of late, so like, where the hell are we going to go? We're all asocial and we're weirdos. But also, please don't drink and drive. Don't overconsume. Drink a healthy, moderate amount and enjoy yourself. So with that in mind, Becca, what is it that you have decided to imbibe?
I have a lovely glass of wine today. This is Duplin Brand North Carolina Hatteras Red. It's a North Carolina winery.
What is the vintage?
The vintage? Does this even have a year on it? I don't even think they put years on this one. It's not
because it was.
It's not that
like,
kind of wine.
It was made this year.
I mean, it's pretty old.
Are babies.
It's at least a year old because I've had it for a long time.
I love how your background is blurring out the wine bottle, almost like you can't have a product placement.
But yeah, so all of this empty space is in this glass because this glass is deceptively huge.
What does that glass say?
It says the tassel was worth the hassle. It was a graduation gift.
From, oh.
Like a coworker at the time.
Nice.
It's got my
That's
name
nice.
On it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm drinking some lovely red wine. What are you drinking, Daniel?
I am going with St. Arnold's root beer with some Crown Royal Black in it. So whiskey and root beer. I found some cocktails that had called for peanut butter whiskey, but it requires 4 days apparently to make your own peanut butter whiskey. So I did not have the time to do that.
That's still less time than I would expect.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, it would take more to make your own whiskey, but if you have plain whiskey or plain bourbon and want to just add the peanut butter flavor to it, yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, you could just pour peanut butter in and have a really chunky drink.
Well, that would have been really interesting, yes. And then drop in some ants for, yeah.
There's like not a person in the world. Like, okay, whiskey drinkers would be like, oh, I love this peaty flavor. It tastes like the swamp. Blah, blah, blah. But no whiskey drinker in the world, and Daniel confirmed this, is like, you know what I need? I need that sticky, clumpy mouthfeel of peanut butter. Blah, 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 blah. Like, that's...
That'll enhance it all. So what about you, Sean? What have you concocted for tonight's entertainment? Ooh.
It's not as bad as it sounds. So I tried to go thematic. I know there are a couple of ant-themed cocktails, but one of them that Daniel told me about is terrible.
I'm sure they're all terrible.
It's got like a 1.2 out of 5-star rating, and I was like, that's not worth... I'm going to make like a pretty big one, right? So
you don't want to waste that much.
Yeah. No, some of the alcohol they wanted was like good alcohol, and I'm like, no. So I went looking. Like, what is a Florida cocktail? Because this movie's set there. And so I figured I'd go with a hurricane. So this is a hurricane, or at least the best approximation I can make of a hurricane, because I live in the frozen ass cheek of America, and so it's hard for me to get actual things like passion fruits, etc. So I got a blended juice that has a bunch of tropical fruits and then orange juice. The oranges that were on stock were terrible, so I got a blood orange in here. There's a little bit of a blood orange. You see that little blood orange? There's some grenadine, some sugar syrup, and then two kinds of rum, and I went fancy, although it's not expensive. I got blackstrap rum, which is a molasses base, and it is very flavorful, and then just a standard Don Q white rum in there. So it is, it's delightful, to be honest. It's really good.
There are quite a few cocktails and ones that had called for rum, too. But, yeah, no rum on hand here.
Well, and they got, like, two different kinds of cherry liqueur. They want Kolsch and an actual cherry liqueur, which if you don't have one, but I mean, I guess I could have done it, but I was pretty set on the hurricane, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Y'all are out here with all your, like, fancy different
this
kinds
of fancy.
Alcohol.
This is not fancy. This is a tiki drink. This is what you go when you go to, like,
isn't
you know,
that the definition of fancy, like, with the little umbrellas?
I have wine and White Claw.
What, White Claw?
It's a hard seltzer.
Oh, okay.
Well.
And y'all have, like, liquor.
I mean, yeah, but,
I'm
it's
jealous,
not like the
is
liquor
what I'm
that's
saying.
In this is some sort of, you know, like, oh, this is, let me tell you, it's the, you know.
Liquor of
aged,
the gods.
Aged 15 years, made with agave nectar from the mountains of Slopomadam. You know, it's so delicious. Oh, we brewed it with babies. It was amazing. The Pope himself was baptized in this rum. It's delicious. Oh, can you taste the holy fury? Yeah, no, this is like Don Q, which is, it's moderately priced because it comes in a glass bottle.
Is that related to Don King?
I don't think so. I think it's like meant to be like Don Quixote.
Oh, that would make more sense, yeah.
And Jerf is correct. Maraschino cherry liqueur is fantastic. And there are a couple of different kinds of maraschino liqueurs. There's also Hering's cherry liqueur, which is very good if you just want to add a lot of, like, really deep cherry flavor to something. And it's not terribly expensive. Hering is not that expensive, but it's like almost syrupy. So you use it as a mixer, but it's
so it's different than like Kirschwasser.
Yeah, yeah, okay. A little bit different. Or like the
because it's like a syrup more.
Yeah, so there's like cherry liqueurs that are like, you know, a clear liquid that's just infused with a lot of cherry flavor. And then there are some that are like, they brewed the shit out of it with like real cherries and then they condensed it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, like not quite syrup, but more syrupy than not. So I have a bottle of Hearing, although it's not that expensive. So, but I get it. You know, if you gotta have your $9 bottle of wine that, whose vintage could be said to be perhaps 2023 from the finest grapes from the Appalachian Mountains. I don't know.
I don't know either. Does your juice have a vintage?
It doesn't. I'm pretty sure all the juice that's in this was produced this year.
You never know.
I mean, even this rum probably isn't. I think maybe the Blackstrap might be the most fancy in terms of the effort that went into making it. But, like, the Don Q's is just a standard white rum, so it probably was made last year or this year.
I don't think I've ever had white rum.
You've never had black rum?
I've never had white rum.
Oh.
I've only had dark rum before, I think.
White rum's good as a mixer. It's sort of
That's probably what I've never had.
Yeah. I mean, some people there are some, Diplomatico does a sipping white rum.
Hmm.
If you really like rum, you'll probably enjoy it. I don't like straight alcohols because I'm weird. But so you could try that. But like generally I think of white rum and most vodkas, except potato vodkas, as being good mixers because they tend to be, their flavors
really don't overwhelm.
Yeah. So why are we like the alcohol? I need to have like just a session where we just talk about alcohol. Like it's
I'm just eating over
session.
Here. Don't mind me.
Yeah. Anyway, don't forget, like Becca, you don't need like just like a simple bottle of regular vodka and some cranberry juice.
Yeah.
No, I'm just poor.
Do you know how to make a Cosmo?
No.
Do you like Cosmos?
Don't you need Cointreau for that?
I've never had a Cosmo.
You can do it with triple sec, which is cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's a reasonable approximation. So, Becca,
It's fine.
No, I'm going to help you out. You don't need expensive vodka. You just need either lemon or lime juice, just any old cheap shit you got. Or even if someone like happens to throw a lime at you, you can take that.
Varnish.
You need triple sec. Or Cointreau if you can get Cointreau, but only buy that if it's on sale, if you don't have a lot of money. And then you can just look up a recipe. Cranberry juice is the other thing, and you just put that together, you mix it up really good, and you got a Cosmo, and it's delicious.
And it'll make
you seem like you're fancy, even though it's, like, not a fancy drink. And if you're really nice, you could get one of those, like, little glasses, like, you know, that's like, oh, and you put some sugar on the rim. You know, to make it look like you're
I'm fancy. Andrea says it's because we need alcohol to make it through movies without crying our eyes out.
Oh, yes.
I agree.
I guess we should talk about this movie.
Because we have to.
So,
I think more effort was put in that rum that you have than that Johnny Q than this movie.
You're not wrong, Daniel. Okay, so Becca, you have been voluntold to do a brief synopsis.
Oh, don't worry, it'll be brief.
Okay, but hopefully you'll get some detail in there. No,
we'll try.
Okay, so what's this movie about? Go.
So this movie is about this scammy, like, real estate person who is taking she's like a land developer. I don't know. She takes a group of people to the Florida Everglades to view some beachfront property and have them take tours where they listen to her talk about what's going to be built for hours while they ride a very shitty golf cart covered in tinsel. And somewhere along the line, they discover that the island is actually full of giant ants. And they're vicious ants who do, in fact, kill humans. And they slowly begin picking off members of the group who are, you know, trying to run and escape from the ants. And on their way, like, they sacrifice, like, four old people. Poor old people. We can just forget about them. They're not really important to the story. You know, just felt like I had to mention them. But so the four old people die first. I think there's one other person who dies first. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. Anyways, they eventually find other people who actually live on the land in their little town. And it turns out the people in the town serve the ants because of the ant pheromones of the queen. The queen has turned all the humans into her servants. And so the group of people who are starring in our movie are told, like, you must accept the ants. And they're trying, like, forced. One person, the shady land developer woman, is forced into the cubicle where she is sprayed with very sus gas that is the ant pheromones of the queen. And is then like, we love the ants. You must understand. They're very nice people. And so the people who are still sane and have not been infected by the ant pheromones attempt to run away and, like, get on a boat. And just the land developer lady then gets what's due to her and is eaten by the queen ant or just some ants. I'm not sure. But it shows, like, in the movie, like, there's the scene where they're all running out and she's running out with them. And then the next scene is her being back in the place being eaten by an ant. Just that felt necessary to mention. And so four of them out of the original, like, 12, I don't know, I can't remember how many people actually do make it onto the boat and attempt to leave. But, you know, it's just giant ants killing people because of pheromones.
Is that what the movie is?
I don't know. Can you do any better?
Who knows?
There you go. That's the summary. They're just there. You know, the town is feeding the ants sugar. Because they love the ants, because they're under the control of the queen ant's pheromones.
But isn't it really just all a metaphor for the political situation of the... Is it? I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know. I mean, it could be metaphor, but it wasn't.
It's not.
I mean...
It's just...
There's kind of like the ecological factor in there.
And they say it's based off the H.G. Wells thing.
Loosely.
Very loosely.
Yeah. I mean, I will note that, like, this film is very famous for its eco-critical take on late-stage capitalism, which, if you've not read Frederick Jameson, he talks about this in one of his books in a footnote for about 6 pages. So, yeah, so if you've ever wondered about, you know, the Marxist concept of defamiliarization, this film is, in fact, a representation of that concept. So, so there you go.
Sure.
Uh-huh. You know, sometimes you can really sometimes you can really tell who is an academic and can bullshit their way through the thesis of a paper about 30 seconds.
It's a commentary on symbiosis and parasitism.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's one way you could do it. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, look, I will just say, like, 100% a PhD is just a professional horseshit degree. Yeah, uh-huh. That's all that is. Yeah,
professional horseshit degree to match the acronym.
Do you have a PhD, Daniel?
Yes.
Yeah. So okay. So you got one too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just got a master's.
How many studies did you doctor in order to get your PhD? Like 9.
Like authored?
No, doctor.
Do you mean? What do you mean doctored?
He means like made to be better, like by
faked, manipulated.
Like all of them.
That's right, because none of you scientist people could be trusted.
No, I just made shit up.
Yeah. I feel like the sciences, like, that's just more like in English you kind of expect, like, oh, well, they're just trying to fit some shit to an argument sometimes. But like in a scientist, it's like it kind of feels more evil if you like make up some shit. It feels more evil. Like, you just lied. That's a straight lie. Whereas I can get away with, like, oh, I just kind of bullshitted an answer to a question.
This is my opinion.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's valid.
This is my view of things.
Well, I had wanted to do for my thesis a project where I put the anthrax toxin into other harmless bacteria so it was more easy to spread. But for some reason, they didn't fund that. They weren't willing to let me do that.
I mean, generally, weaponizing biological functions is illegal, isn't it?
I don't know. Don't we have the right to bear arms? Why does that exclude biological weapons?
No, I think we have the right to ant arms.
Yeah,
no, that's right. Yeah, we have a right to ant arms. So if you like,
I can militarize the ants. That I can do.
Coded Duelist, by the way, is in the Skiffy and Fanny chat.
Hello, Coded.
I will let you know if you will pop over to Alphabet Streams. We're starting the phase out of the Skiffy and Fanny Twitch channel. So I know that means I'm making you follow another channel, but that's
but you
just
can,
to consolidate.
You know,
yeah. But please come over. But also, they noted in the chat over there that they BS their way through papers all the time.
Coded is in engine. He's in school for engineering.
Oh, well, 100%. Let me tell you a story. And Daniel, you'll appreciate this because I imagine you understand the importance of quality communication in the sciences. So I once got hired to copy edit these engineering papers from an engineer who, I will say, their first language was probably not English. That may have been a factor here. But it took me like 5 days working like 4 or 5 hours a day to make this like 10-page paper, to me, make some vague notion of sense. Because the sentences were like the most bananas. They would just go, and then a new idea would happen in the middle of the sentence, and then the other sentence that had started would start again. And I'm like,
I don't know how you did that. Yeah. Because I've done some stuff like editing from French or correcting English from like studies that were, by French speakers. And that's in biology and something related to my field. And even that I can do because I'm familiar with those terms. So I cannot imagine doing a project like that on something where it's like so outside of your realm of experience and expertise.
I will say that like the hardest part of it was, for me, it was a matter of I got to keep the language in place because I can't assess the science like at all. Like I'm just not. But I need to make the sentence say what I think they're trying to say with the same language. And their complaint was like, I changed the meaning of their sentences. And I'm like, well, the sentence didn't have meaning before and now it does. And that was the problem.
It might not be the right one, but now it has a different meaning. Yeah.
And the impression I got from that conversation was basically like, if we're going to work together, I kind of need to be more involved in the, like, we need to have sit downs and conversations where we go through things, and that requires you paying a lot more than you're willing to pay. So I didn't hear from them again. But I,
oops.
Yeah. So
for the better.
This was like incomprehensible, almost gibberish. Like it was really hard work. I don't mind a challenge, but this was just too, it was too much.
So, I wonder if Bert I. Gordon gave the script for this movie to a scientist.
No, I think he just gave it to an ant. I think he had an ant on a typewriter. And it was just going to town.
Sprinkled some sugar randomly.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Go.
That's ridiculous. Good Lord.
All right, are there any likes for this movie? Is that where we begin?
I can do it.
Okay, Becca would like to go first.
I liked a 5-second part of this movie where Pamela Susan Shoup kicked a really shitty, rapey guy in the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
For trying to, you know...
That was a good point.
Come on to her and like not let her go, and she said no several times.
She was very forcible about the no.
Yes, yeah. It was not ambiguous. This,
so your like is that she kicked him in the nuts?
Yeah. Okay. She really, yeah. She hurt his reproductive parts before he got eaten by ants.
Yeah, I mean, that was good. That was a good moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he immediately got eaten, karma. Yeah. Karma really came around, like, right around for him.
This is Larry, by the way.
Yeah, he abandoned his wife then, too, didn't he? He abandoned
he
his wife
married.
To the ants.
He was married.
Yeah.
That was my thing. Like, when I found out he was with that other woman who he left to die to the ants, I was like, wait, hold on, guys. He was married the whole time? Did I miss that detail? Because he just comes off as such a sleaze. And then, like, the woman he's married to, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, guys? She's gorgeous. What are you doing? She seems like a nice lady. She just wants a nice man in her life who's going to treat her with respect. Like, that's no big deal. And he's just a sleazeball.
An absolute sleazeball.
100%. There was only one good man in the whole lot, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't even that good.
The boatman.
Oh, the guy who ran the boat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
He was a good guy.
Yeah. He was a good guy.
He was maybe the only good person of a character, period, in the movie. I mean, I guess The one played by Pamela Shoup was...
I mean, she was good. Fine. She was just sort of like dragged along, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, literally dragged along at one point. He was carrying her down the stairs to get to the final boat.
I feel like the people who survived largely were the good people, which I will say is weird to think about because so often we watch movies where, you know, horror movie or movie where people die and like not good people. So like 2012, when we watched 2012, like everybody that survives in that movie is a horrible piece of crap, except like a couple of kids that survive. They're awful monsters. If you want to know what I think about that movie, go watch the episode. Listen to the episode. I have opinions. But in this, like, okay, so you've got Shoup, right? The who is, you know,
is her
maybe
name
not
Janet or
yeah, like what was whatever her name? Her name is, right? She seems nice. She's just looking for a nice guy and like just wants to kind of live a chill life. Then there's the guy who is
Corrine.
Yeah, sorry, what?
Corrine.
Her name's Corrine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm changing my mind. but then there's the guy that she's sweet on, right?
Joe,
who is... I mean, he's clearly... things have not worked out for him, but it's not because he's just running around being a terrible monster. Just like, his marriage has fallen apart. It sucks.
He lost his job.
He lost his job. His sports car that he owns that he probably should sell seems to have gone to crap. He's behind on his child support payments, which, like, bro, you need to get a second job on what you're thinking.
And his condo is plastic?
Yeah, his condo is not good, basically.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that one either.
Yeah, that's what they mean, is, like, on the outside, it looks like it's a very fancy thing, but, like, on the inside, it's not a high-quality condo. It's not like he has a really good condo. It's sort of thin walls, basically. Yeah, and then there's the boat guy who certainly seems kind of like a dick at first, but then his whole thing is, like, I'm just here to ferry people to this island. I'm not involved in the business proceedings. And it turns out, like, when push comes to shove, it's like, no, like, I'm going to save these people. And he does. And then there's the lady who has lost everything, right? She got fired from her job for reasons that are not her fault, which seemed, I think from implication, was she was basically sexually harassed at work and they fired her, is what I read that as. And her whole thing is she has almost no money. She's going to this island to buy this property because she wants to open a business. She wants another chance, but she has, like, no money, really. So her biggest flaw is that she's technically lied to these property sellers about how much money she has, which, in fairness, the property sellers have lied about the quality of fucking everything on this island, so they deserve it.
What about the queen aunt? The queen, she was good. She just wanted what was best for the ants, for her species, for the colony.
That is fair, but still. But anyways, that's my like. Is literally just Pamela kicking a guy in the nuts. Anybody else got one?
Like,
I don't know. I think that was the only good thing about the film.
Daniel, go for it. What is your like? Go for it.
My like is actually the music in it, the piano kind of soundtrack. It didn't always make total sense with what was going on the screen, but I just listening to the soundtrack, there were times I was like, yeah, this is nice, sort of like pensive music, or this is a bright, catchy tune. So I enjoyed the soundtrack, and there was a piano riff that was played that really reminded me a lot of the piano part in Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Oh my goodness.
And it just gave me, like, Bird Eye Gordon, so many of his movies were done on Mystery Science Theater as well. And so it gave me fond memories of that, from the little piano that was playing every once in a while when things got creepy. So that was my like.
Okay, I got to take you to task a little bit. Can I?
What? Soundtracks are a good like.
Go for it.
No, in general, I agree. But like when I was listening to the soundtrack, there's a moment in the soundtrack where I was like, this is when everybody makes fun of old sci-fi monster movies with that music. This is what they're referencing, because there's a moment in the soundtrack when they're being like chased by ants and it's just like, dun 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 dun. It's doing this like,
it's so 70s, yeah.
It's so ridiculous. You know, mostly
this movie, yeah. It's like that callback to like the 1950s cheese B-movie, so that aspect of it, it's not done as well as in Food of the Gods. Well, yeah, it was. Well, even below that, maybe. The movie that Bird Eye Gordon made before this, Food of the Gods, actually does that campness and the callback to the 1950s big kind of animal monster movies pretty well. It has giant rats, and there's a scene with like a giant chicken that's just like pecking on people.
R-O-U-S's? Rats of unusual size?
Rats of unusual... No, it's food... Yeah, food of the gods. Rats of... And this one doesn't do it as well, but the music still did that for me. But it was really the piano that I thought was the best.
Yeah, he did say piano.
I know, I just...
You're focusing really heavily on the bass. He said piano.
Just saying. In chat, they're wondering why we were talking about the Bee movie, B-E-E movie, which is a movie we've never watched for torture cinema and may have to change. We might have to do a poll like next year that's just
I will not be on a Bee movie episode.
Oh, okay. I will not. Apparently she won't do it.
Do that with Alex.
Fine. You know what? Go watch the rest of the Transformers franchise with us.
Absolutely not.
Wow. I just, that's...
I like B-movie action movies as much as the next person. Maybe even more. But I like B-movie action fantasy movies.
Oh.
Like...
Coda Dula says you should do it.
God damn it, Coda.
I'm just saying, we've done the first one, and there are like 17 movies to go. The Bayverse. Yes, that's correct, Coda Dulles. The Bayverse. If you want, we can start with The Island.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to start with some Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson?
I could deal, I guess.
Okay. Oh, no, trust me, you can deal, because they're both fine as shit.
They are.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Like the bu-bu-bu-bu is shit. What is your like?
Okay. Thank you for getting us back on track. So I also like getting kicked in the nuts because he deserves it. But I think the thing I like most about this movie is the boat guy. Because it immediately, Andrew will remember when we were doing this live, immediately I started thinking, like, what is his backstory? Right, because there's this kind of gruff guy, he runs a boat, he doesn't really want to answer questions, this lady keeps coming to him, and she's like, the reason I'm coming to you is literally because you clearly don't care about this, so you'll be honest, and she doesn't want to, and like, then he's kind of sweet on her, and like, they're almost a couple, but then they're not, and he's like gruff, but you also know, like, he's actually kind of a sweetheart inside, and I just wanted his whole story. I want to know how he ended up in this spot. I wrote a story in the chat where, like, he was married in, like, a horrible storm. Like, he used to be a fisherman, a horrible storm, like, killed his whole family. And, like, he swore he would never be vulnerable again. And, like, here is this nice lady. And he finally was being a little vulnerable with her. But then he's saving these people as the true hero that he really deserves to be. That's
you really went all out with this, didn't you?
Oh, my God, yes.
You could make a prequel to this now.
It'd be much more interesting than this
like
shit.
Like, he actually was exposed to, like, some giant other insect prior, and that gave him the experience and
that's right.
He saw the rats of unusual size.
Yeah.
He was in Food of the Gods, right? His family was killed by the rats, and that's why he's so jaded. But really, he's a softie on the inside, right? What he wants more than anything is, you know, to meet somebody who will make him feel alive again. And then they'll go and, like, hold hands and, like, go get ice cream in cute little small towns and all these kinds of things.
Make him feel alive again, get ice cream.
Yeah, like holding hands and going and get ice cream with your sweetheart. That's sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's not exactly what I would think about when you say, I need somebody to make me feel alive again.
Okay, as somebody recently married, let me tell you what, man. Okay. Those really small things... Like, I mean, Daniel, I assume you're married to a human of some description, right? Like, those really small things, like, kind of are the best.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah, just rub it in my face.
Sorry, Becca. Like, I'm okay. Would just go with my wife to, like, some small town and have ice cream. Like, I would just love that.
If you go and have ice cream, that's just a risk of ants coming for it.
That's true.
And then you got the whole PTSD thing coming in and flashbacks. No. And
yeah, they'll never be able to go on a picnic ever again.
No, I don't think so.
So
it
that's my life.
Be some other little thing. C- kind of a side to that, I guess, alike, is that he does survive.
Yeah.
And so often in these kinds of movies, like, I was surprised that it wasn't just like two people, like Joe and Corrine, that survived and that was it. But like the four survive, that's kind of rare.
Good numbers.
Yeah. And that he was one of them. He didn't have to like sacrifice himself at the end or something.
Yeah. That is always a thing where it's like the good guy, the gruff older, you know, sweetheart, like heart of gold under the gruff exterior, usually sacrifices himself for a younger female character. But he didn't. He saved two of them. He saved, you know, two, like he saved the girl he was kind of sweet on. He saved another girl. And the guy came down at the last second. I was really not expecting him to.
Yeah, I thought he
Joe,
I don't know how he
was.
Ran, given he seemed to like have one non-functioning like ankle or something. Like his leg was not working.
I mean, adrenaline can do, I guess, you know, that's amazing true. Things.
Yeah.
But yeah, that leg was fucked.
Yeah. He was a cute guy, though.
Joe?
Joe's cute. He was kind of cute.
I mean, the fashion in the movie, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The clothing was pretty good.
I couldn't get over his hair, though.
Yeah,
what's
it
wrong
was
with his hair?
Exceptionally, like, Beatles
bowl,
era.
Yeah, bowl cut kind of thing.
Yeah, he definitely had a bowl cut.
It was a little too...
Straight bangs, the straight line.
But I can totally see, like, in some of the later scenes, he had his, like, shirt done, showing his chest.
Showing the middies.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. That's like a thing on my streams.
Becca.
I like the middies.
Becca.
I've been drinking this really fast.
Becca.
What? I can objectify people.
Wow.
They're fictional.
Wow. You're a terrible
the Dicey
monster.
Comes out. Hi, I stream over a Dicey Druid. I like middies. There was a new romanceable character in the video game we were playing today. No shirt. The first time I saw him, I heavy breathed into the mic for a good 10 seconds.
Wow. Just, I wasn't expecting that from you, Becca.
From me?
Yeah, like you, and never at any point on this whole thing have you ever objectified anybody that we have had. Not once. Never.
I do keep the line. I only objectify fictional people. There is a line.
Is there?
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally messing with you.
There has to be. Because she was breathing respectfully. Thank you. 100%. Thank you, the kids are
I just want to
thank
note, you. We have 100% objectified Gerard Butler. 100%. We spent most of that fucking Gods of Egypt movie.
Gods of Egypt,
that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Talking about how
but
much
I was
he
objectifying
was
the fictional character that he was playing.
No. We were objectifying Gerard Butler. Because it didn't matter what movie he was in.
He's
we
hot,
were like,
and he has a Scottish accent. And
yes, and in chat, his thighs are objects of power, Kids Are Asleep says. That is correct. His thighs are.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
So yeah, I like middies. I like good thighs. I just, my Discord is full of them.
Oh, okay.
I read a lot of manhwa, which is Korean manga.
Oh.
And there's lots of hot men and equally hot women. Mm. And it's a good time.
Okay.
Yeah, come over to my stream if you like simping.
Do follow Dicey Druid on Twitch. Yeah, please give Dicey Druid.
I do
follow.
Also like when we say ooh-woo.
Ooh-woo? Is that a thing?
Ooh-woo.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. We'll have to do a thing where you explain a Korean manga to me.
Yeah, I'd love to.
On a side note, do you know how much Joan Collins was paid to be in this movie?
Isn't it like, it was under 50,000.
Yeah,
$45,000. Between 40 and 50.
Now, in fairness.
Is that not a lot? I don't know what that
I
is
mean,
in 1977.
It is more than I make in a year.
Yeah.
In 1977 dollars.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Not
a
small
that's
sum
a lot.
Of money.
Yeah.
But it's also worth noting, they definitely didn't spend a lot of time on this movie. No.
Simply, so Joan Collins, now we're getting into my dislikes.
No.
Joan Collins won an award for this, though.
She was,
like a Saturn,
did she win the
Saturn,
Saturn
award?
Or was nominated?
Yeah, I thought it said she won.
She won an award
no way.
For this?
No way she won for this.
What?
Let me just
hold on.
Check.
Hold on, I'm checking.
Joan
right
now. Collins received,
no,
a nomination.
Received a nomination in the fifth
just
annual Saturn Awards for Best Actress. I just want to know.
Oh yeah,
the
just
best,
nomination. Yeah,
she's not the best in this movie.
No,
not at all.
Not remotely.
The fact that she got it is bananas to me.
No, Pamela was way better. No.
Yeah,
it's worth noting. Like, there's kind of a reason for it. So, like, Joan Collins, this is really at the tail end of her career, but Joan Collins is kind of a big name. Also was married to an ungodly amount of people, which, okay.
It was kind of the end of her career on film?
Pretty much.
Didn't she do TV, like soap operas still?
Yeah, so like...
And she like wrote a shit ton of books, I know.
So like...
She was in something in 2022.
Well, yeah, I mean, she...
She was in a short, like...
Yes, but like, let's be real. Like, is anybody going like, ah, Joan Collins movie, like, let's watch that shit, and that's not what people are talking about. I mean, Joan Collins is still kind of relevant, but... But anyway, the point is, like, this is kind of, so, like, this is the 70s, right? So this is the era when you could either be a TV star, you could be a movie star, you can't really be both. Today, you can be both. And that really doesn't change till, like, the mid-2000s, give or take. And so Joan Collins is known as, like, she's got two Soap Opera Digest Awards, right? She's got Primetime Emmy Awards. She's Golden Globes, People's Choice. These are awards that have a higher likelihood to go to people that are in television, not necessarily for her film. And the films that she's in are things that are kind of like this, right? So Empire of the Ants, or, you know, monster movies and sci-fi flicks and things of that nature. She had a long career, still does. As far as I know, she's still kicking, right? Yeah, she's 90 years old. Jesus, she's... Good for you, lady.
And she was in stuff last year. She was in two things last year.
Yeah, she was in Tomorrow Morning and The Gentle Sex. And then in television, she is going to be in a show called Glow in Darkness, playing Adelaide of Morion.
It says Adelaide of Savoy.
Oh, well, mine says Morion, which is French.
IMDb says Savoy.
Well, it could be. Maybe she's both. I don't know, man. Maybe it's the same thing. No, she's the House of Savoy, so... Yeah. Anyway, she's playing a queen. So there you go.
Bert I. Gordon just died in March, apparently.
Oh, wow.
At 100 years old.
Wow.
So there's some longevity associated with this movie. And oddly enough, I think I've seen more with Pamela Shoup than Joan Collins. Like, Joan Collins has the name recognition, but Pamela Shoup, some viewers might, or listeners might recognize from Halloween 2.
The original Halloween 2.
Directed, I think that was still John Carpenter that directed Halloween 2. But still with Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm. So she has horror movie cred.
Street cred for horror movies. See,
yes. For her.
You know, that's Scream Queen.
Yeah.
Cred. Yeah.
Classics. That's true.
Yeah.
Which, no one else in this movie has that horror connection, I don't think.
I don't really think
so, no. Yeah, so.
A bunch of folks in this who are, like, the main one of the main characters actually, like, stopped. I think they were in the same shows and, like, stopped after that. Oh, my God, what just happened? I got raided! Oh, my God!
You got a raid?
I'm raided! Rockagoth is raiding me. We're getting raided.
Hi, Magic Ninja Robot.
Magic Ninja Robot did the raid, and then Rockagoth is one of the people raiding. Oh, my God.
I'm Hi, Raiders. Raided. Welcome in.
Should I be
We're
afraid?
Talking about Empire of the Ants, 1977. A terrible movie about ants taking over the Florida Everglades. It was horrific.
It's a beautiful film. What are you talking
it's
about?
It's not the ants' fault. They got radioactivity. They got, like, radioactive waste.
They ate mercury.
By the stupid
it looks
yeah,
like
it was
mercury coming
yes.
out of barrels.
But
and
it must have been,
it.
Like, sweet mercury. Mercury with glucose.
It was Magic Ninja Robot on MST3K at some point, I'm pretty
sure. Oh, was
sure.
it?
I'm pretty sure.
No.
Nice.
This one so. Wasn't, but the other one was, by the same director.
Many, many by the director have been,
okay.
yeah.
But so this one
not
is
Empire of the Ants.
You know what? You're right, Coded. If ants were to take over a part of the world, it would probably be Florida.
I mean...
Although... I would expect the, what is it? Is it crocodiles or alligators in the Everglades? One of the,
both.
They would take it over first.
Okay, let's,
both of them. All
right, hold on. We're now in my territory. So this film is set in
or the Anacondas.
Florida, and much of its filming takes place in the Florida Everglades. They do also have some other parts of Florida, the St. Lucie and Martin counties, but primarily the Everglades is what they're based on. And I just want to note, the Everglades is a place where you get both alligators and crocodiles. Pretty much the whole state, you get crocodile or alligators pretty much everywhere in the state. Essentially anywhere, except like in the oceans, they really don't go. But if there's a body of water, there's almost certainly an alligator somewhere in Florida. But the Everglades and some parts in the southern area of Florida get crocodiles. And they're not the most fun, I would say. So, like, this is the thing. I live in Florida for 10 years. I'm sorry. I'm going on a rant. I apologize, everybody. But you're just,
it's
you're
better
getting
than
some
this
education
movie, so
today.
Don't worry about it.
So, Everglades are amazing. The two things that suck in the Everglades are venomous snakes. Well, it's three things. Venomous snakes, mosquitoes, and invasive pythons. Because the pythons...
Mosquitoes can just...
They'll suck you dry in the Everglades.
Did they have those invasives back in 77?
Probably not.
Because why did this movie not do, like, giant alligators?
Budget.
Or...
Well, budget, yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
I feel like it's more expensive to make giant alligators and crocodiles.
Well, they just
than to make
did
ants.
Giant rats and giant chickens, so...
Yeah, but rats and giant chickens are pretty easy to get.
Make some fucking puppet crocodiles. Most of them were, like, giant puppets.
The next movie,
and you can, like,
Empire
use, like,
of the Alligators.
You can have stock footage of, like,
now
the
crocs.
Now
that I would watch and maybe enjoy.
Well, there is a movie
probably
called
not,
Crawl, which is about, like, alligators, like, during a hurricane going on a rampage and eating
oh,
people
right.
in Florida.
I did see the trailer for that one. That was, like, relatively recent. It was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, like five years ago, something like that. I hate that movie with a fiery passion for the same reason I imagine shark fans hate Jaws.
Because mm-hmm. it makes them seem
yeah.
a lot more dangerous than
yeah,
they actually are.
It gives people the false impression that alligators are these really super dangerous animals. And like, yeah, like, you shouldn't go
aren't
mess
more
with
people
them.
killed by like cows or vending machines than are killed
I
by
mean,
sharks.
I mean, that's true of bear attacks
year.
Too and shark attacks. Like, you're more likely
don't
to
go,
die from a dog bite than you are yeah. from an alligator or a shark.
Don't get in their way and they won't get in yours.
That's pretty much it. Like, the almost all the instances of people dying from an alligator are just people they're doing stupid stuff, or they're in a situation where they shouldn't be swimming in the water and they just simply are good prey items. So, like, there's a horrible case of some foreigners visiting some international folks, I should say, visiting Disney World and staying at one of the, like, resorts, and they let their kids swim in an area that had a lot of signs that said don't because alligators are here, and unfortunately their child was eaten. I don't know if they was fully eaten. I don't know if they ever found him, but probably eaten. And it's because, like, to
that's
a
terrifying.
10-foot alligator, like, a little 2-foot-tall child, that's food.
Yeah.
And it's not that the alligators inherently are super dangerous. It's like, no, you put yourself in a situation where they're the apex predator in the water. We're not. On land, you can mostly run away from an alligator. I mean, they're mostly lazy little assholes.
All right, dislikes.
Okay, dislikes. Yeah.
It's oh, I'm so ready. Too long. But I'll let somebody else go first because I went first with
Daniel,
the light.
Go.
The science. I know one shouldn't expect, like,
yes,
stellar
it
science.
Was so bad.
But it's just so stupid. From the pheromones to the idea that, because it starts out with this long quote that I did for the tag for this, talking about how they actually give good explanations of ants that do, like, farming of fungus, which is a cool story, or ants that will keep other species, kind of like humans speak, keep cows for agricultural or
right.
dairy purposes and such. And so, like, that stuff, like, makes sense. That does happen. And so it's a good analogy, but they don't explain that further. Then they go into the whole pheromone things, and it's like, it's obligatory. They have the pheromones, and you must do what the pheromones tell you to do. And it's like, well, humans have pheromones too. It's not obligatory.
Are we talking about ABO?
ABO.
It's Omegaverse? It's like a whole area of fiction based on, like, alpha, beta, omega dynamics. And, like, pheromones play a huge part in plot lines.
Oh, good
it's
Lord.
It's a whole thing. Like, we could do a whole podcast on it, and people already have. It's.
I mean, pheromones, they do play a role, like, even for humans subconsciously, but it's not like it's obligatory and there's no control over it. Like, the queen ant is just going to control minions that way. So that was just stupid. It also pissed me off, the ant vision. So Bird Eye Gordon tries to be clever with this filter that's put over the camera to give ant vision, where there's multiple like little frames showing the image, but they're all duplicate images. So like as you see the ant going from the point of view of the ant attacking a character, you see like multiple images of the character, almost like in a kaleidoscope image, being attacked and screaming. That's not how ant vision works. And so
would
you
it
have
work kind of like ours where your brain like interprets it?
Yeah,
as one
your
place?
Brain interprets it because each of those little circles or whatever the geometric shape is, they're each like a point of a certain area. And then when you see like a point that'll be part of the overall image, another point, they're not duplicates.
Yeah, because we technically have two areas, but our brain like interprets that as one.
Exactly. And it would be hella, I don't know why I said that. It would be really,
Did you just use a Californianism? You did. Yes. You're from Pennsylvania, sir.
I know. It's the whiskey. It would be blurry. It would be utterly blurry.
The whiskey's Canadian.
It would not be clear. So, like, you
could. Oh, man.
You're confused.
But made by hippie Canadians.
Hey, this is the rest of that wine. I'm having a good night.
Bird Eye Gordon could have done like an actual ant vision where it was like blurry or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it probably wouldn't have been like the vision that he was going for because
no,
exactly. Like that scene of the woman screaming where like one eye was just the mouth and it was like, you know, filtered out from there. Like, it worked, but it was way too long.
It was too long, and it was too much. It was too zoomed in, too, because it's like, no matter where this ant is, if it's so big, that's not the actual point of view that ant is going to have in any... It looks like a camera zooming in on somebody's face, right?
It does. It just, and like, with a black frame on it.
With a black frame. Yeah, exactly. To split it up into multiple images. And then even going back to like those classic 1950s giant animal monster movies that Bird Eye Gordon's famous for and others, there were so many scenes where he just like left the shot in, like almost in an Ed Wood kind of way. Perfect cut where you're showing like the ants crawling on just bare sky. And it's like,
okay.
Why?
Yeah,
why
now we're getting into one of my dislikes.
Edit? So I'll let you go further with that one then.
Yeah, it was just so... You're under the impression that these are giant ants, but it's so obvious. Like, I feel like if you just spent even a little bit more time on the editing, it wouldn't have been this obvious. It is so obvious that he did what he did, which was to take photographs of the place and just let real ants crawl on those photographs and then show that. Like, cut that into part of the scene. And it's so obvious that the photographs were taken during a different season because they're like lush and green trees. And then you can like see the line of where it's like, this is the photo and this is the actual film. And it was so terrible. The editing was so bad. I couldn't handle it. The green screen, like, I thought they were on a green screen at first. Not like a photograph because like the outlines were so bad and you can clearly see them crawling on thin air at parts like when they're going into the sugar refinery, like sugar storage place, because there's one that's like trying to get onto the roof or whatever and his legs just like keep hitting thin air and he keeps going back down and it was so frustrating. But that was just one of my dislikes. I do have a bigger one, but I wanted to elaborate on that because you did bring it up.
Oh.
Perfect.
It was so bad.
There's a lot that's bad.
There were so many points where it's like, this is a photo of it during like summer. And you guys are filming this in the fall when a bunch of these trees have dropped their leaves. This is not how this works.
I'm confused right now. This is Florida we're talking about.
I know, but like the trees were like much more bare and not as lush and green.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense because it's Florida.
They don't all have to be evergreens.
Yeah, but they don't do that in Florida.
Well, I don't know. It was like still. Oh, whoops.
Oh, you turned off your camera. You're not real anymore.
I'm okay.
Whoa,
was this really all actually filmed in Florida?
I'm here. I'm still here.
They
but like
done
it just
it
was it
too.
Looked terrible because
it did. Yeah. Oh no, it does look terrible.
God damn it,
like, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm just.
It looked terrible. I have a real, like, another dislike, but I'll let Sean go first in case my dislike is also his like.
Okay.
His dislike.
So I'll throw out a really quick one first, which is when Larry finally dies, he does not die as appropriate for the crime he has committed on screen. It tricks us. It makes us think for a moment the aunt's going to, like, eat him from from his groin up. But then it just moves on. And then I was very
disappointed. Yeah, no, like, it would have been super appropriate if it had eaten his dick first.
Yeah. I mean, I also kind of am mad that just Larry lived as long as he did, because he's the first I wanted to die.
He should have died before the old couples.
They should have got the old couple and left him in that shack. Because, like, the whole time they're on the, like, river, right, and the boatman is rowing, right? Because he's the leader of this group, and Larry's just complaining, like, I don't deserve any of this, and everybody else is, like, giving him bombastic side-eye, as it were, being like, yeah, okay, honey, you definitely deserved it, what's going on? You know, he's complaining the whole time, and it's like, these people are trying to save your ass right now. Shut up. Be quiet. Also, I don't know if ants have ears, but they could probably hear, so shut your mouth hole. Stop talking. What is going on? Anyway,
do ants have ears?
I don't know, but they probably feel vibrations, right?
Well, they detect sound. I gotta Google this.
Yeah, they can detect sound, I assume. So, yeah. So
I don't think they make the noise, like the standard insect noise.
Ants listen by feeling vibrations from the ground through their feet.
I just want to.
And eyeless ants, such as driver ant species, can communicate using their antenna.
Can we talk about the sounds the ants make?
Oh, my God.
Okay, that is my real dislike. My real dislike is the fucking sound balance in this movie. Because the ants, like, screech this high-pitched noise throughout, like, every time they're on screen. It's this really high-pitched, annoying-as-hell noise, and it is the loudest thing in the film. And it is so fucking annoying.
It's pretty bad.
I literally had to turn my sound down to be able to stand the noise because it felt like my tinnitus was like just like in the world, and it was so bad. The sound balance was absolutely fucked in this movie. That was my real dislike. So sorry.
I was really tempted right now to try to pull it up so everybody else could enjoy it.
Please don't. Please don't. I have headphones on.
You won't hear it.
Just be bad.
I'm looking for it now.
They would hear it, but I got to sit through an ad on Plex in order to do this.
Yeah, you're welcome for us watching this movie, because you never need to watch this movie. We have described it perfectly.
I mean, it's the same. It's the same noise they used in, like, Them.
But just imagine being in the theater.
All the classic, like, 1950s
imagine being in the theater in, like, the middle seat where they, you know, orchestrate the sound for this movie, and just hearing that noise and being unable to turn it down or, you know, like, escape it. Like, that noise was horrific.
So I'm going to get the sound. So here we go. Okay, you now have heard what we heard for an hour and a half.
BRB doing literally anything else. Andrea says her dog hates that sound. My cat also did not like it, so no. I can relate. The sound is absolutely horrid.
It's awful.
It's just a high-pitched screaming, and
as our resident biology person, Daniel, is that what ants sound like?
I am not an ant expert.
Do ants even make noise?
Yeah.
Do ants even have, like, vocal cords? Like,
well, not as humans do.
Okay, I'm a little disappointed. Next time, could you bring more science to the show, please?
Okay, ant language sounds wacky and can be hacked. There's a YouTube video.
Can be hacked.
What?
And I can give you the other tiniest dislike that has nothing to do with the actual film. I was just super mad that it didn't end with, like, a nuclear bomb.
I kind of deserved to do that.
Like, they don't actually resolve anything with the ants. They just leave.
They light them on fire and then leave.
Yeah, but like that obviously doesn't get all of the ants. I'm not even sure if the queen ant was like in that fire.
No, well, she was.
No, she was. Yeah, the queen ant burned.
Okay, yeah. But like they don't resolve it at all. They just like escape. They set the place on fire. They run away, and it's like, so you're just leaving potentially hundreds, thousands of ants in the like mutated ginormous ants that have. You know, the large, like, life-size models or whatever have actual hair on them, which was, like, I guess, neat. Well, but, like, isn't you that just leave them there.
That's, like, basically every Jurassic Park movie, too.
Well, but they're on an island in Jurassic Park, right? So they leave
but
them.
But here
and they
in the Florida Everglades, which is connected to mainland USA.
Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, and that would be the thing I would raise here, which is, like, yeah, they don't resolve it, but also there's so many plot holes in this. That it actually strains credulity.
Well, you also have all those other radioactive canisters that they dumped into the ocean.
Yeah, there were so many. Like, what else got embiggened by the radioactive mercury?
Right, that's how we're going to get, like, empire of the alligators and empire of the muskrats and, like, empire of, I don't know. Like,
empire of the puffins.
Empire of the puffins,
I would watch that. Watch Empire of the Puffins. Or, like, Empire of the Lemmings.
That would be more interesting than this movie, because at least it'd be really, like when we watched the Shrew movie, Killer Shrew.
Also, like, Attack of the Giant Shrews? When they were dumping the like radioactive waste or whatever, and they were doing it one barrel at a time.
Yeah.
Like, just dump them all.
Like they were like, looking
you're
for
gonna
a
commit
submarine.
To, you know,
in a
environmental
very violent
terrorism.
Fashion as well.
Yeah.
They weren't being gentle with them.
No, not at all. So I want to
mention. We're being careful while we dump our radioactive waste.
So I want to make sure that we mention the plot holes in this movie before we get our grades and we go, because...
Do we have enough time for all of them?
No, not all of them, but I want to talk
we
about
the
two biggest ones.
We have unlimited time. Let's go.
So the biggest plot hole is, mysteriously, somehow, these ants have become giant ants, and this small town has become, like, under their spell, as it were, within a matter of 24 hours.
Yeah, it's like super fast. There's no like generations of ants that die and grow bigger and bigger slowly. It's like they are tiny ants and then they are human sized or like bear sized ants. Like, what the fuck? Where is the evolution?
Yeah, never in movies.
I mean,
this is a creationism story.
By the implication of this story, humans are fucked. We're completely screwed because it takes no effort. Like aliens, if they showed up, they could just take us over in a week.
And also, like, how do you get from the queen ant spraying pheromones to then the town building a booth for the queen ant to spray pheromones on individual people?
Why don't they kill the queen ant?
Why don't they just kill the queen ant?
They also have guns, for fuck's sake. They're just
ants. Like, I'm sorry. I don't think an ant's
guns never
exoskeleton could withstand a bullet. Wait,
ever.
What? I'm so sorry.
He's saying what guns don't work
guns,
against giant
guns
ants.
Guns don't work against giant insects or giant anything ever right. In any of those movies.
So that's plot hole one.
Yeah, that's plot hole one.
Plot hole two is this is meant to be an island. They took a big ass boat out there, and yet they walked to this other town, and this other town is clearly connected to the mainland, so they can theoretically.
Was it meant to be an island? Because I was so confused. Oh
but
my gosh, it was.
Why the fuck are they on a boat? Just drive there.
Yeah, just drive there.
Why do they need
it's
the Everglades? You can just drive.
There are no roads. There are no roads that go there.
But there's the town.
No, there's not. There's the exposition at the beginning of the movie when you see the radioactive canister in the background and you have like two random guys like cleaning on the beach. I don't know what they were. But they were maybe setting up the whole real estate thing. They were setting up the party.
Oh, when they were hammering the sign in and stuff. Yeah.
And they're like, why are they... Who would ever want to buy this worthless land? It's in the middle of nowhere. And so they talk about how it's like 3 miles from the nearest road or waterway. And even once you get on the waterway, it's another 10 miles on the boat to be able to get to this town that actually is connected to everything.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
So it's just very isolated.
No.
Oh,
but it's still
in the Everglades.
You can take some ATVs from that small town. Like, you don't need to do this whole boat thing. This is stupid.
But
the creepy farmer and his wife were ick. Oh, she's a good wife. Disgusting. I'm so sorry. It's like the most random thing, but like,
no, it's
there's
gross.
A point where the characters meet, like, the first people that they actually come across on the island who aren't part of this, like, real estate deal are a farmer or, like, just, like, an old man and his wife. And his wife is, like, the most without agency person you've ever seen. And he's like, she's a good wife. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck?
No, they're part of a
terrifying
cult. They're part of a cult, Becca.
Yeah, they're all part of the ant cult, the ant pheromone cult. Yeah. But, like...
Yeah.
Terrifying.
She should have been running the household then, and he should have been the good worker.
Yeah,
they live in the Everglades, so they've seen the skunk ape. They know about the skunk ape.
Skunk ape?
Yeah,
skunk
you don't know ape, about the skunk ape?
Doesn't everyone know about the skunk ape?
Okay. I don't know about the skunk ape.
So, Becca...
It's Bigfoot for the South.
Don't you dare sully the skunk ape's name with that Bigfoot shit. But yes, also, it's definitely Bigfoot for...
Is it like Florida's cryptid?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
One of them. It's basically...
In Louisiana.
The belief is that it's a hominid species, not the same size as like what we think of as a Bigfoot or a Yeti, but that lives in the swamps of Florida. And there is actually a Skunk Ape Research Center just outside the entrance to the Everglades that you can go...
So and, you're like, telling me that somebody took a furry... way too seriously.
But okay. People, so I want to be clear. People swear they have seen the skunk ape in the Everglades. They swear.
Legend of Boggy Creek. We've never done those movies. One of them they did on Mystery Science Theater.
Looking at the chat, Tanya, it was very Stepford Wives. It
is.
It was very creepy.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we got to get to these final thoughts and grades, which I will write down so that I can remember them because I'm not sure I will remember this evening.
Final thoughts. I wish I'd gotten this drunk while I was watching the movie. this is what's left of that entire bottle of wine.
Oh my God.
Freshly opened before this podcast.
Wow.
I have been downing this like grape juice. Final thoughts. This movie sucked ass. Like, but it wasn't as bad. Wasn't as bad as like Robin Hood. So like I have to give it like a D. Because it's not F. No, I'll give it a D.
A D. Okay.
Straight up D. Because, and like, I know it was 1977. I know they don't have, you know, CGI at this level.
No, horseshit.
Like,
Star Wars came out the year before this. No, that's horseshit.
Did it really?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then no, this movie has no fucking reason. It's a D minus. Like, this movie had no fucking reason to be edited this poorly. I will be gremlin dicey for this. What the fuck? It was a terrible movie. I didn't enjoy it at all. I absolutely hated the sound balance, and it completely ruined the entire movie for me because I was like, I had one hand, I have speakers that have a little dial, and I had one hand on the dial the entire time. So every time that ant noise would come out, I would just turn it down because it was so terrible and the editing was horrible. And the plot was horrible. And the only good thing was that girl kicking that guy in the nuts and that guy dying in the end. And I'm very drunk and I'm sorry.
All right, Daniel, what about you?
Final thoughts. A couple things that didn't get to mention. Sean, you made me think of another plot hole in the sense of what's the motivation of the ants here? It makes no sense. They're like killing the humans, but then they're also like controlling this town and not killing them and controlling them to like take humans to kill them. It does not make sense. I'm not buying the whole sugar thing. Because they're using the humans for more than that too. Anyway, that made no sense. The other is that like thinking of Food of the Gods, there is at least some diversity in the cast of Food of the Gods, and in other Burt I. Gordon movies, there has been diversity. There was none in this.
Yeah,
and
there wasn't a single person who wasn't white.
It was like 1970s diversity, but at least still there was
where the diversity is you have two characters who are tan?
Yes, and like you have someone who may or may not be indigenous playing a Native American, but at least you're making, for the time, there's some effort there. There was nothing in this at all. It was white bread and misogynistic, and it was just, yeah. So even though with all of that, it's a B movie, I've seen way worse. I'm going to give it a C-.
Okay. All right, my final thoughts. I don't know, man. Like, this movie was kind of fun in being just really bad at times. But I think the things that really annoyed me about the movie were the things, a lot of things we've raised already, like the weird sexual harassment, assault nonsense, which I really was, I don't have a lot of patience for that anymore. And so I just immediately wanted him to, like, I just kind of wanted her to turn out to be like a serial killer and she just like murdered him and hid his body. Like
Final Girl-esque.
Yeah, yes. That's kind of how I felt, like, immediately. So that kind of stuff, but also it's like, it's the 1970s, so like, fucking of course there's going to be, like, women are not treated as fully equal here. Although there were some elements of it that I kind of liked with, like, the boatman and the older lady who he's kind of sweet on, where, like, he does actually kind of respect her, which I appreciated. But yeah, I feel like this is a movie that it feels 20 years late to the party, and that's the problem. It just feels old. It feels like it's not 1977. This is 1950. I don't know. I just, this is the 1970s. Like, there's a lot of great science fiction, even monster movies in that era that are just better. And this is not it. So I would also give it a D, which puts us at,
Of a D plus, right?
Like D-ish. Like, it's like a D-ish.
Still not worse than Robin Hood 2018.
No, like, that's the weird thing. We need like another score category of like, would we watch it again?
Yeah.
Yes or no. Like,
I mean, the answer is still no for Empire Man, to be clear.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I would watch.
And my answer for Robin Hood 2018 is yes, but it's very different for other people.
I need to make a scale of, like, under what circumstances would you willingly watch it again? And one of the worst ones is, like, only if put under in a torture situation for 6 months.
Yeah, like you're about to be murdered unless you watch this movie.
Right, yeah, there you go. Like, I'll have to come up with another scale. I mean, maybe something a little bit more, frankly, like,
which for me,
correct,
Spawn is like all the way down there. That Spawn movie was horrific.
Yeah. So, okay, that's the show. So if you'd like to let us know what you thought about the episode, or you would like to suggest potentially a bad movie, you can go to skiffyfandy.com/listener-suggestions and let us know anything you would like us to possibly cover. That includes things that are not torture cinema, by the way. So if you would like to suggest ideas or you have comments that you'd like to give us, we'd love to hear your thoughts. You can find us on all the social sites. We're Skiffy and Fanty pretty much everywhere. Our main places are like Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, etc. But we have a link tree, which is linked on the screen, or if you're at home, linktr.ee/skiffyandfanty. Find us places, follow us. We also have a newsletter that is also linked in that link tree. If you do like the show, please go to patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. Any amount of money is great. That helps us cover hosting costs and other kinds of things. And you will get access to our private Discord channel, which has a number of different things, like you can ask us questions or interact with us. And if you're at $3 and up, you can actually join us once a month for our live torture cinema watch sessions, where we literally will watch the movie with you, and it is, in fact, as painful as you would imagine. But also
I will make you suffer through another movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, too, can blame Andrea.
And you, yes, too.
You, too, can blame Andrea.
That'll be the new poster.
We should have that as a tagline soon.
Absolutely. And then if you do love the show, please go to all of the pod places that you go, where your apps or whatever, and leave reviews for us. iTunes is obviously the big one, but if you use another app, please leave reviews for the show. Let folks know about us. Even go on your socials and let folks know. It's really great. So, and as a reminder, this Skiffy and Fanty channel on Twitch, we're going to phase it out. It's all going to go to /alphabet streams, twitch.tv/alphabet streams. That's where it's going to end up. We're going to have Skiffy and Fanty nights just to kind of consolidate, make it a little easier to manage. So, me, SeanDuke.net, obviously I'm on Alphabet Streams, and you can find all that stuff. I have a Patreon as well, but I'll just send you my link tree, which is linktr.ee/SeanDuke, which is Sean with a U. Anyway, that's me. Becca, what about you? Where are you?
Hi. Hi there. You can find me at DiceyDruid on Twitch. I stream Tuesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. We do mostly cozy gaming and, you know, sometimes where I get murdered a lot in Duck Game or other, like, Phasmophobia, other games. But we're, like, a super chill community, super cozy, who talks about, you know, simping over fictional characters a lot. So, yeah, that's where I am. Otherwise, you can find me on my couch scheming with my cat about how to take over the world.
Perfect. And Daniel, what about you? Where can folks find you?
You can find me with my bacteria scheming on how to take over the world. But otherwise, you can find me at reading1000lives.com. That's reading1000lives.com. Or in the blue sky, also at reading1000lives.
Okay, I want to end, but normally I make it awkward, but I want to make it awkward differently. And I want to ask Daniel a question as a scientist who studies bacteria. What is your favorite bacteria, and what's the weirdest reason you like that bacteria?
Huh. You've posed the stumper.
Why do you indeed. Like bacteria?
Which bacteria?
Like, is there a bacteria in my butt that you're a fan of?
I would have to sample to know what is...
I'm not sending you a sample.
Oh my god, that just like it took a second for that to filter through my mind. The levels of pun there. That was really impressive.
Oh my god. Oh my lord.
That was an A+ pun. Oh my god.
Since it's October, I'll go with Vibrio vulnificus. It causes flesh-eating disease, and just a little bit of it, like in an open wound or something, can just like completely eat away at your skin, and it's related to Vibrio cholerae, which causes cholera. So we'll go with that one.
Damn.
Can you get which a jar still that doesn't
come I'm sure, I mean, there's other ones that are weirder that are kind of... There's ones called Verruca microbia that are warty. Like, they have all these protrusions on them, and we don't really know what they are or what they do. And so they're that whole group... Planktomycetes and Verruca microbia and chlamydia is in that group too. They're another bizarre kind of bacteria.
Wait, but chlamydia specifically is a bizarre bacteria.
Yeah, because it doesn't behave like most other bacteria.
Oh, interesting.
So does your lab have chlamydia?
It does not.
Okay, got it. All right. I was just curious.
There's lots of chlamydia where I work because I work on a college campus. So.
I mean, there may have been some that I am unawares of, but again, I would have to sample. I'm not going to do that.
No. Okay.
Anyways.
For the podcast.
Anyway.
That is now definitely an awkward ending and scene. If you want to support this show, you can go to patreon.com/skiffyandfanty or skiffyandfanty.com, our website, where you can get access to all of our fancy things. Our music comes from Holy Mole. You can support him and his work at patreon.com/holymole. Thank you for listening.